pleased now to be joined by our good friend, Dr. Matt Hillman, the Northfield Superintendent of Schools. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, Rich and Ryan. Great to see you this morning. It's you know, what a turnaround a week makes in terms of what I have to wear as an overcoat. So
say that again.
You know, the old adage, if you don't like the weather in Minnesota, wait 15 minutes.
Well,
so.
about 5:20 this morning, I want winter to die a horrible and terrible death. So
you're showing your compassion this morning, right?
it came for me this morning. So
I get it.
Anyway.
Oh,
so what do you want to talk about first, Matthew?
Well, I think that, you know, first I just have to share, because I have to give a shout out to my friend Logan Wells, because, you know, I'm a listener to the KYM in the Morning Show, and I want to just tell Logan it's okay that he doesn't know some of the songs that you guys are playing with the song of the day, because I don't either. So, Logan, you're right in
Here's
my book.
Here's the thing, though. He knows. He knew today's song.
I was getting ready for this show, so I didn't get to listen today.
Yeah.
But.
There you go.
Crazy. You would have known this one, because I know you to be kind of a hip-hop fan.
Sure.
This was Crazy in Love with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Again, beyond my 1994 musical experience. So. Well, no, we had a good board meeting last night, an efficient board meeting. It was only around 40 minutes long, which is, you know, unusual, but we had a lot of things on the agenda. A couple things I want to share, just some great work by our students. Our FFA chapter, you know, which is pretty nascent, you know, we brought it back after more than 30 years, just a couple years back, and, you know, we really just see that student leadership team really doing amazing work. So for the first time in over 35 years, Northfield FFA has two state degree recipients, so we want to congratulate Keith Harner and Macy Mueller on that honor. And we also want to share that Macy also won first place in the entrepreneurship proficiency poultry production section. And Hector Villanueva was named the 25-26 regional sentinel, and Josh Keenan was named a chapter regional delegate. And so the fact that we're really just a short time, you know, a couple of years into this revamped FFA, and seeing our students compete and be recognized at the regional level, we think just really speaks highly of those students' dedication. And of course, TJ Austin and all of the folks who have come to support our students. We also want to congratulate senior Soren Powers. This is a really big deal. Soren advanced to be a national merit finalist. And so this is a very small percentage of folks across the country who are graduating. And so we look forward to seeing what Soren receives for scholarship from the National Merit Program. That will happen in March. So that's a big deal. Very small percentage of students across the country are named National Merit Finalists. And then, of course, we're at that section time of the year, and we have many wrestlers who advanced to the state. So just congratulating Ella Pagel and Callie Graber, who are going to compete in the Minnesota State High School League girls wrestling match up at the Xcel Energy Center. We also want to congratulate Charlie Johnson, Keith Harner, Caden Stobbs, Sam Harner, Zane Engels, Owen Murphy, and Ryan Kuiper. They have advanced to the state boys tournament. So, you know, congratulations to Coach Jeff Staub and all of the wrestlers, you know, who, again, great Northfield showing going to the state tournament. And, of course, this week, as I'm sure you already know, it's Public Schools Week. Now, in Northfield, every week is Public Schools Week, but we especially celebrate at this time of year really just about highlighting the role that public education plays in democratic society. And so we are proud of the public schools that we have here in Northfield. We know people in our community have high expectations for us, and we strive to meet those expectations every day. We're going to disappoint you from time to time, but I think we're going to exceed your expectations more often than not.
I like living in a community where we have high expectations for the school district. And I get the feeling you like working in a community that...
I mean, let's go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the major leagues, and we want to bring our A game every day. So.
Amen. All right. Cool. It's on my mind. You brought up Macy Mueller, and you're talking about some of the wrestlers and stuff. Macy Mueller, congratulations to Macy Mueller, who had one heck of a season in goal for the Raider girls hockey team. Also,
yeah, they had a great season to the section championship.
Yep, fourth
you know,
year
tough
in a row,
loss
too.
To Farmington.
Yeah.
You know, but again, competing at the highest level year after year, our hockey program is doing. Of course, our boys advanced the section championship tomorrow night, right here on KYMN Radio.
Jimmy LaRue and Gordon Moore on the call.
You can stream it on KYMNradio.net.
Should we just hire him?
Yeah, let's just put him on the payroll.
Yeah.
Well, we had some really good news last night at the board meeting related to the first part of our bond sale for the Reimagine Northfield High School project. And so, as you know, voters overwhelmingly approved all three questions back in November. There's around $120 million of bonding authority. And because this is a longer project, we're selling the bonds in a couple of different issuances. Because obviously you don't want to sell all the bonds right away and have the community paying interest on that, you know, when at a time where we don't need all of the funds for construction. So the first issuance we made yesterday, a $39 million issuance, that's going to be enough to get us started, you know, and get all of those things going. And then in 2027, we'll have another bond issuance for the remainder of our authority. Okay. So yesterday was bid day for our bonds. Really pleased to share that we had 13 bids for those $39 million in bonds. And I couldn't be more pleased to share with you that the winning bid was at 3.97% interest. That was the winning bidder is Baird of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, you know, I know that you paid close attention to our educational campaign during the referendum. And, you know, all of our projections, everything that the taxpayers had seen was anticipating 5% interest. And so when we take a look at this portion of the bond sale, what that equates to is $8 million in less interest payments than what the public were told when they went to the polls. And so this is not extra money for the project, right? That's not what it is. This is just a lower amount of interest that our taxpayers will pay. And so, you know, Rich and Ryan, you know, I've said many times, one of our goals is to underpromise and overperform. And I think this is another example of that. It really is about the fiscal stewardship that the district has had and the tough decisions that we have to make from time to time, which we'll talk about in a few minutes here, too. So I think that this competition for our bonding was really impressive. And we're saving taxpayers quite a bit of money compared to what they thought they would pay when they overwhelmingly approved all three questions at the polls.
Overwhelmingly. Question, and I don't know how this works, so I'm just curious about this. When you have an agent, I would assume, who does the purchasing Eller, for
we,
you.
We have Ellers as a consultant that helps with us,
Okay. Is there a parameter on how much they're told about, like, they see an interest rate like 3.9, are they authorized to maybe borrow a little more because they can take advantage of that interest rate?
You know, not in this particular case, but I think in some circumstances, you're not going to borrow more.
Right.
That's not what you're going to do.
Well, you sell the bonds.
But there's also, there's a number of other financial tools, which I'd love to bring Val Murdestorf and Shelby McQuay from Ellers in, because, you know, there are other things like what are called coupons, which we also got a substantial coupon yesterday, what I think is a substantial coupon. Those things all play into how much money do you have available. What we would actually prefer to do is if we were able to actually borrow a little bit less, right? So remember that we say we have the authority to borrow up to a certain amount.
Sure.
And so what possibly could be is you might be able to do some pieces with those bond issuances so that you don't have to bond for everything. Now, that is more on the bid side, right? There's some of that that's more on the bid side.
Right. Okay. All right. So,
Just one more piece is that we'll also, in the next, probably the next month or so, receive the first $1 million payment from Carleton College.
Ooh.
So if you remember, Carleton College generously has pledged $2 million toward this project, and we're breaking it up again, $1 million with each of the bond issuances. So we anticipate we will see that funding from Carleton here in the very near future, and then another $1 million issuance or another $1 million donation when we sell the next set of bonds. So again, thanks to Allison Byerly and the team at Carleton College for believing in our public school system. Again, this is an unusual, and I think we should celebrate it during Public Schools Week. We know one of the most prestigious private colleges in the country investing in its local public school system. Not many examples of that across the nation.
I was going to say, I mean, just in Northfield, it's a bit unprecedented for Carleton to have stepped up like this. But yeah, you're probably right.
I'm right. In terms of this case, I mean, there are examples of private colleges investing in their communities in a variety of different ways, typically mostly in the Northeast part of the country where it's really a tradition. And so there's obviously in the Midwest, there's some ways, but this particular kind of capital investment is highly unusual. We can't find many other examples of it. I had our good friend Dr. Rob Hardy, former school board member, do a little research on this, and you know, he found very few examples, and they weren't even, in most cases, weren't really school related. It was more of a community arts center or something. Like, there are some school examples, but it's an unusual piece, and we're just really grateful for Carleton investing in public schools. And I've said before, you know, They are one of the high. They are the highest rated for 13 years in a row for the quality of their undergraduate teaching. That's like that's UCLA, right? Yeah. I mean, in terms of basketball dominance, or I suppose Carlton ultimate frisbee dominance.
Right,
in the
there
sports
it is,
world,
right?
but I think again, it's just a really great investment in our schools.
Somewhere Brent Nystrom just puffed out his chest a little bit.
There you go.
There it is.
Yes.
So we had a meeting last night, a school board meeting last night. What was on the docket?
Yep. So they approved the sale of the bonds, as we talked about. And then one other thing that they approved in relation to the bond referendum project is a process for managing change orders. Now, we work really hard in our construction planning process to have very few, if any, change orders. We didn't have a ton of things in the Greenville Park projects back then. I mean, there's always going to be some, right? So you had planned for one thing, and then you find out, oh, we need to use something else, or there needs to be another approach that has to be used. And so when a cost deviates, you know, from what the original bid plan was, we have to do a change order. And so obviously, as Logan reported yesterday, you want to be able to keep the construction process moving, but have the appropriate oversight. You know, so remember, we're talking about a $120 million project. And so our administrators, which would be Val Murtisdorf, our director of finance, Justin Robley, our director of buildings and grounds, and myself, if all three of us agree that a change order is necessary, we have the authority to authorize a change order up to $100,000. If the change order is between $100,000 and $175,000, the project oversight committee, that includes those same three people, includes representatives from our architectural partners and our construction management partners. There are three school board members who are on that project oversight committee, Claudia Gonzalez-George, Corey Butler, and Ben Miller. And if that group and some other administrators, if that group agrees that there needs to be that change order, they have the authority to approve up to $175,000. Anything $175,000 or more, the full board needs to make that approval. And regardless of how it happens, we will publicly report those change orders at the next board meeting.
Okay. All right. So you also probably had some budget conversations?
Yeah, we had a couple different budget conversations last night. The board did approve the operating capital and the long-term facilities maintenance budgets. Mm-hmm. Those are really about the projects that we're going to do in between school years. And so we asked the board to approve those budgets early so that we can start contracting with contractors and making sure that we have companies that are able to do the work and get it scheduled. We actually have a fairly short time between school years, and so need to make take advantage of every single day. So those two budgets were approved along with a 10-year plan and the indoor air quality plan. Those things are required by the state to have those reviewed and approved annually. And then we did talk about our priority-based budget, give an update, priority-based budget reduction teams. So we have around 85 people who have been meeting for the last 2 weeks. They'll meet again tonight. They'll meet for the final time tonight. Of that 84 people, around 65 are either staff members, community members without children, parents of students in the district, or high school students. And so we have a really good variety. It's the post meeting surveys have been showing about half and half people completing those surveys, giving us feedback on the process. So we have a lot of people at the table. And so they're discussing, you know, they got grounded in the budget a few weeks ago. Last week, they start the very difficult and uncomfortable process of starting to talk about what are the areas that would be recommended for a reduction. So they're working, and they'll finish their work tonight on a set of what we call preliminary proposed reductions. And so each, we have a $6 million budget target that we are seeking, and then each team has a proportional, essentially a proportional amount that they need to look at reducing. 80% of our budget are salary and benefits, because we hire good people to do good things for kids. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that when the public sees the, you know, the list of proposed reductions, that you can't solve our budget, you know, this operating budget issue with copy paper. And so, as you know, about half of the schools in the state, we estimate about 50% of the schools in the state are having similar conversations. This is not unique to Northfield. We know, just to remind listeners, this is really related to declining enrollment. We're projecting a small but ongoing and incremental declining enrollment here in Northfield of 0.93% average over the next 6 years, as far as we can see into the future for right now, really due to two reasons. Birth rates are lower. People are just having fewer kids. Rice County in the last 6 years, 12% fewer births. And We also have an issue with housing, you know, in this community, as we know. There's the last report that I got from Pete Mergens, you know, only 28 single-family homes for sale in the entire 178-square-mile school district. Just like everybody listening, inflation affects us too, right? It's about the cost of eggs now and not the cost of a gallon of gas. That's right. Mine is, what is a 12-pack of Diet Coke cost? That's my inflation measurement. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I shared, you know, we had a 26% increase in our premiums for property and liability insurance. Of course, that's a national issue. So inflation is affecting us as well. And then, you know, we're working through a number of really well-intended mandates that came from the state legislature, but in the aggregate, they're pretty substantial, you know, about a little more than $1 million of what we're projecting of required expenditures just from those mandates, the state mandates. And of course, we've talked about special education cross subsidy a number of times, yeah. Rich and Ryan, that's the amount of money that we pay from the general fund for mandated and, I would argue, morally imperative services to students with disabilities. But that's $4.2 million a year that we pay. So the teams are working through these lists, and they're developing their proposed reductions. I just want to be really, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, you know, when we start to talk about what the proposed reductions are, there's going to be emotion in this community. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be anger. Some people are going to be frustrated that a program or a service that they really like is being reduced. Other people are going to be saying it's about time that we reduce that program because it's about where you come and what kind of services you have. It's, you know, we are going to have some emotion around this, and I would be disappointed if we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, we have great programs, and people are going to be disappointed because we have great programs. There's nothing that we have, Ryan, that doesn't have value.
Right.
To somebody.
Right, exactly. So my question to you with that, because I heard you say the word reduction, is that kind of the theme where you're not necessarily trying to make any eliminations, just reductions in a lot of areas? Or is it kind of a mixture of reductions and eliminations?
We'll find out.
Okay.
It likely is probably a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
I think the term reduction is probably a better term.
Sure.
I can't say for sure, you know, whether there'll be anything that would be completely eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't finished the work yet.
Yeah.
And so it likely will be a mix of both,
okay.
But much more heavier on the reduction side.
Sure.
I think it'd be difficult to see, you know, entire programs eliminated, but it's possible.
Yep. Okay. Good to know. And when do you anticipate these proposals will be taken into effect? Are we looking at in the next couple of months, next school year, kind of a timeline?
Yeah. So we're doing the budget for next year. So we're talking that these reductions would go into effect for the 2025-2026 school year. So essentially on July 1.
Sure.
And the process, the timeline is, you know, we're finishing this work tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we've used this process a few times over the last 20 years. It's very participatory. It brings people into the process early rather than late.
Sure.
But you could always say, I could use another hour or 2 hours. And when people are at the spot of having to make a recommendation,
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh, if I only had another, but we know that would happen. We could have 20 meetings and that feeling would last right up until the last hour of that last meeting because we don't want to do this, right? But it is the response. This is responsible. We'd prefer not to do it, but it is the responsible thing to do. So our administrators will take all of those proposals,
mm-hmm.
and we will formalize them into reductions. We don't expect the committees to know the details of how you write, you know, what the reduction actually will be associated with the cost, right? That's they're giving us the list, if you will, and then we're formalizing them.
Gotcha.
We will share that with the community sometime in the next 10 days, I would say. I'm not going to give a specific date because I've learned not to give a specific date in the past.
Always a good plan.
And then, you know, we know that they will certainly be, of course, in the packet for the March 10th board meeting.
Sure.
And then on March 11th, we have a community meeting that people can join us at Northfield High School from 6 to 8:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We'll meet in the auditorium. We'll give a presentation about the reductions. Participants will break into small groups, one board member per room. So we'll have 7 breakout rooms,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be an administrator, at least one administrator in each of those rooms. Everyone who's there, you know, outside of that larger group that would be in the auditorium gets a chance to share how they feel about the proposed reductions. We'll come back to the auditorium. We'll have a public comment style session where if there are people who really would like to speak in front of the entire assembly about their feelings, they would be able to do that. 3-minute requirement, you know, 3-minute limit, and of course it would follow the same public comment requirements that we have for a board meeting. You need to be a district stakeholder, you know, all those kinds of things. Then the board will formally hear the reductions on April 14th.
Gotcha.
That'll be the first time that it's, you know, it's proposed, formally proposed, and we'll ask that they take action on those reductions on April 28th. Now, just because the list of reductions comes from the committee does not mean, of course, the board has the final say.
Sure.
And over the last 20 years, you know, we have seen where there have been some, you know, line item vetoes, if you will, in terms of just saying we've gotten feedback on this and we'd like to find a different way. That's appropriate. These are the elected officials. Mm-hmm. They are empowering these teams to do the research, to be able to come up with suggestions and recommendations, and then it's their job to make those final calls. So very open process, very participatory. Everyone who applied to be part of our teams was given a slot, and so no one was turned away. And participatory up front, oftentimes you'll see school districts where they announce the list, and then that's when people start to give input. And so we do it a little bit differently. We ask people to come to the table. And then, of course, after the proposed reductions are announced, there will be time for feedback, too.
I was just going to say, the last time you went through this, this whole decision-making process, you had ag education on the table. Can you talk a little bit about how that all played out? Because I think it's a really interesting story, the way where we're sitting now.
Well, and I think it's a great example of how that our school board listens, right? And they hear and they listen to everyone. And sometimes the answer is no, right? Because there's something. But in this case, and there's a few examples of this over the years too, Rich. But the ag program is a great example. We had a partnership for probably 30 years with the Randolph Public Schools. And we had started to see the number of students who are participating. They would drive over to Randolph for a couple of periods of day. And we just saw the number of students declining in that particular program. And it was, I think, it was down under 15 or something like that. And so the team had proposed reducing the small amount of money that we had paid to Randolph and saying, no, we're no longer going to allow that kind of shared time experience. And, of course, we heard very clearly from the ag community, number one, that they weren't aware that the program had dwindled to that amount. They knew the real importance of the agricultural economy in our community and all of the things, not just farming, but all of the other businesses that support that. And they overwhelmingly not only came out to share that they didn't believe that the program would be cut, but they also came with a ton of solutions about how we might do things differently. And just be at the top of this interview, we talked about how we have FFA back at Northfield High School, a flourishing ag ed program. For crying out loud, we had goats in the courtyards at the high school, and they'll be coming back here in a few weeks. I think it's an example of how when you talk about these kinds of things in the public sphere, it doesn't always go as recommended, and actually you see a significant turnaround. And this is something that was nearly going to be reduced, and now it's an incredibly flourishing career technical education program in Northfield High School.
So for those who say, you know, this is all this public meeting is a bunch of theater and you've already made the decisions, that's just not the case, is it?
No. No, and I have to chuckle a little bit about that because I don't think my wife would be happy if I was spending 8 hours of evening time away for something that would be theater. And I think that, you know, sometimes that is, I hear that comment from time to time too. What I'll tell you is that I think our record speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. I understand that people are can sometimes be skeptical of government. Right? We know public data, public opinion polls show that. I would just ask you to watch our process. And none of it is theater. We interact with folks. They ask us sometimes for suggestions. How would you approach this? What are some ideas that you can give to us as part of this process? Of course, we give them those ideas when they ask, but they have an opportunity to bring anything, you know, to the table. And it is complicated. So sometimes not everybody knows what all of the options are. But this is the furthest thing from theater. It is, let's be straight up, this is incredibly stressful for the people involved. Right. I mean, when you're talking about these kinds of reductions, it puts the community on edge, right? It puts our staff on edge, you know, in terms of just that there's a little bit of uncertainty about what does the budget look like for next year. When you're in that mode, if you think about people listening, if you think about that in your place of work and you hear that, you know, potential, you know, layoffs or what does that do, you know, within your school? We've worked very hard to create a good school culture where people don't borrow trouble. We'll wait till the decisions are made and then we'll move forward. But it's stressful on everybody. So if we were doing this for theater, we're not pulling it off very well then. Right. It's not going to get a Tony.
Right. Anything else we should be talking about, Dr. Hillman?
Hundreds of other things, but this is what we're talking about today.
There you go.
All right. Matt, thanks for the time. My pleasure. Thank you. We always appreciate the conversation.